The White House says it's probably the biggest environmental disaster we've ever faced in this country. BP's CEO is contrite.
We're sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives. There's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. You know, I'd like my life back.
But no apology can console the Gulf Coast, certainly not while the oil still floods the water. When Billy Nungesser of Plaquemines Parish first appeared on TV more than a month ago, he sounded outraged. Now he sounds tired.
We've seen it roll ashore in thunderstorms here recently. A minimal tropical storm will blanket the marsh and destroy it forever.
I will never be the same.
Destroyed by Katrina and now facing an environmental catastrophe of unimaginable proportions. Truly, the Gulf will never be the same. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, Monday, May 31st, Memorial Day.
And let's get a check of the morning's top news. And of course, a cold, hard truth in the Gulf. That's what Americans have to face.
I think what the American people need to know that it is possible we will have oil leaking from this well until August when the relief wells will be finished.
That's White House Energy Advisor Carol Browner on NBC News yesterday. BP is now turning to Plan E by some counts, which involves sawing off the leaking wellhead, covering with a containment dome, and then sucking the oil out from underneath that dome. BP Managing Director Robert Dudley tells NBC News it won't cap the leak, only bring it to the surface.
It'll be a 4 to 7 day operation. I think the probability of it working is much different than the top kill.
BP plans to get started on that plan sometime today. And we talk more about oil and how it could potentially change life in the Gulf permanently in just a few minutes.
The Israeli Navy has attacked a flotilla out of Turkey carrying tons of supplies for Gaza and killing at least 10 people. Here's the warning the Israelis gave the convoy that was carrying about 600 passengers, including a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
You are approaching an area of hostilities, which is under a naval blockade.
When the convoy did not stop, Israeli commandos rappelled onto the ships from helicopters. What happened next is hazy at this point. The activists say the Israelis immediately opened fire. The Israelis say they were fired upon first. Here's the ship's captain.
Stop your resistance. They are using live ammunition. We cannot protect ourselves.
The Israeli military says four of its soldiers were wounded. In Istanbul, protesters immediately took to the streets. Turkey has reportedly decided to withdraw its ambassador to Israel. May became the deadliest month this year for U.S. troops in Afghanistan after a soldier was killed yesterday. That's the 33rd death for the month. It also saw the 1,000th U.S. military death in the war when Marine Corporal Jacob Light was killed by a roadside bomb. On this Memorial Day, his brother Jesse, an Iraq War veteran himself, is remembering the man that he calls the epitome of a Marine.
No doubt in my mind that he was perfectly okay with laying down his life. That's what he wanted, and that's what he wants the people of America to know, is that he died doing what we needed.
Markets are closed for the holiday. Throughout the morning, though, we're going to be talking to you about who you remember. Who do you memorialize on Memorial Day?
My name is Joe Sturm, and I'm from Alexandria, Virginia, and I am a veteran of the First Gulf War and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Think about the guys that I served with in Afghanistan. We lost three from my battalion during operations there. I think about those guys a lot, but I mean, it's easy to remember when you can never forget. Bobby Beasley, Craig Cherry, and Kyle Hemauer.
Share with your memories of someone you that you remember in the service or out. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post to thetakeaway.org.